Folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott back with us again. Our weekly updates are absolutely amazing. I'm so grateful to just have you on board, and just glad to be this Thanksgiving week with you. It seems like they won't give us a break. They keep throwing stuff at us. And one of the first things I wanted to throw on the board at you, if I could, is this thing happening now in New York as we're doing the interview. Where they're going to actually have isolation and quarantine procedures. So basically concentration camps. I don't know if you see this, but you won't have any option to fight it. No court date, nothing. The rule has no age limit and they can keep you as long as they'd like. I mean, crazy things going on in New York and more. So did you see anything like this, or how does that make you feel with this overreach?
It doesn't make me feel good. I mean, I hadn't seen this until you just brought it up, but it's like, part of me is like, oh my word, now what comes next? And the other part of me is like, well, of course they're going to do that. They're overreaching on everything, right? Everything from the IRS hiring tons of agents under the last big spending bill, and they're armed agents. Why do tax collectors need to be armed, right? It's like, what are they planning? Like, what gives? And why is it that the World Economic Forum, the Bank for International Settlements, the IMF, all of them are saying, we're going to cut you off from your money unless your ideology matches up with ours. That's overreach. Yep. It's like, since when do they get to say what we can buy or sell? Well, if they can control the on-off switch is the answer.
That's right.
And we somehow gave them that power, right? It's like, when did a non-elected official, just somebody who has a job at some non-governmental organization, get to dictate the rules of the world financially? Well, we let that happen, right? I'm not saying we voted for that. Nobody voted for that.
Yeah.
We voted in politicians, and politicians gave that away. I mean, shame on them, LT.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and also this another thing here that I wanted to show you, didn't pop this up earlier, but a lot of these politicians are getting arrested. They're getting put away for 20, 30 years now. One of these is this guy, Wuhan. This guy's going away 100 counts of possession for this child abuse material. I mean, it's really ugly. And they're friends with some of these key players that they put in front of us all the time that are always haters of freedom. They hate anything to do with conservatives or Christian values or anything. And now they're all connecting one at a time. It's been happening this past month now. We've seen one arrest after another. Something strange is going on. It's almost like they want to control us and stop us from exposing them to the point where they want to stop our free speech too.
Well, I think they do. I think they want to, but here's where overreach starts to really start to repel the public, and it becomes too much, and they don't get their way, right? It's almost like if they were to take incremental steps, they could probably get by with a lot of this junk. But going complete overreach, people are going to automatically pull back from that. Say, this is too much. Yeah. We're really giving up our freedom. We're really giving up all of this, right? Yeah. So, for example, we've talked a lot about central bank digital currency over the last, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 months. I mean, it's been a while. It's been the recurring message because they're marching lockstep down this path.
Yep.
And so this is a great video. Should watch that video by Pocahontas and see.
Yeah, I mean, Pocahontas. Yeah, that's right. I mean, right here, just on time, as they are watching all this stuff play out, here's Senator Warren, for those listening in, asking for a move to central bank digital currency.
Banks do wrong. If you think we could improve that in a digital world, the answer is sure you could. But in that case, let's do a central bank digital currency.
Are you there?
Oh, for a central bank digital currency?
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's time for us to
do that. So essentially, because we're, the thing is, when you look at every piece of paper currency we issue, not with coins, but every paper currency has its own identity.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, we're prepared for the blockchain now with currency. Should that be how we build this?
So I think of it as, again, what's the problem you're trying to solve? Mm-hmm. And if the problem you're trying to solve is fast, almost frictionless ability to send money across the country, do it rapidly, send it around the world, be able to send it to your cousins in Argentina. If that's what you're trying to solve, a central bank digital currency does that. And you don't really need a stable coin for that. You've already got a dollar denominated. You don't really need a Bitcoin to be able to do that. So then the question becomes, so what is it that the Bitcoin, what problem is it solving for?
There we go. So I'm glad we played that clip just in time.
So what problem is it solving? Mm-hmm. From their perspective, what problem does central bank digital currency solve? That's spending money privately. You can't control what you don't know, right? So what central bank digital currency brings into the mix is really taxation of everything. Because, I mean, in a world where you're buying stuff at garage sales with cash, does that ever get reported? I don't know. And I don't really do garage sales, but I would assume not. What about tips to you know, servers at restaurants? I mean, I don't know. I've never been a server, but I would venture to guess that cash transactions a lot of times go not reported, right? I mean, it's just why people deal in cash. It's why drug dealers deal in cash, right? So what they're saying is we can get the drug dealers of this world, the sex traffickers of this world, we can get the money launderers of this world, because under central bank digital currency, all is known, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the message that they're trying to say. What's the flip side of that coin, the ugly message that they're not saying? It's like, because all is known, and apply that to other words that they have said, Bank for International Settlements with the Unified Ledger, yep. Project Aurora, Project Icebreaker, both from Bank for International Settlements. Like, if your ideology doesn't match up with ours, we're going to cut you off from buying or selling. That means they're monitoring everything. That means it's like spyware in your bank account. That's right. Something that nobody should want. But why would they want it? What is it? Well, in a way to, I think there's a couple reasons. Number one, taxation. Right. If you know every single transaction, you can tax everything. Right. Number two, people control. If you don't like what people are spending their money on, let's say you tithe to a church that the globalist or the government says, what? They're preaching against some of these social agendas. They're preaching hate speech. Yep. We're not going to allow that donation. Or what if you're buying a gun for hunting? It's like, they don't need a gun for hunting. They're not in it for world peace. We're not going to allow that. Or what if you're buying vitamins and natural supplements? Like, no, the only medicine people should ever buy is a vaccine, right? So if they don't like your ideology, or if you buy gas for your truck and they want you to have an electric vehicle, they won't allow it. See, it's all about people control. If you want to control a person, you control what they spend their money on, then you control the person. That's the problem, according to Elizabeth Warren, that CBDC is trying to solve, is lack of transparency. They want complete control, and they can't have complete control unless they know everything about you. How do you do that? With digital money, not with paper.
That's right. Yeah. And some other things that you brought up earlier, and we were going to show this tab. I'm going to make sure I pull this up just right. Right about here, we have this strange thing going on with the Dutch Central Bank. They're admitting that it's prepared for a new gold standard. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah. So for decades, even more than decades, central banks have poo-pooed gold and silver, right? They say, oh, it's an ancient relic. It's awkward. It's very, very risky, right? It's just some ancient commodity. Why don't you go with cash? Let the central bank, you know, dictate money supply or interest rates so we can slow down the economy or speed it up with a much cleaner, easier to use mechanism. That's the message they've been portraying for years. But what is that message? That why did they want that? Because it allows them to print money without discretion. If you don't have any tangible backing, you can just print money, print money, print money. It's how we've amassed $32 trillion worth of debt current, why we have quadrillions of dollars of completely unsustainable future debt, right? Bills that have already been passed, right? They're they're obligations that Congress has already passed. They just haven't come to us yet because it's in the future. So we've got a paper currency system that's out of control, debt spiral, countries are imploding, people have no money, inflationary pressures like there's no tomorrow because printing of money is what causes inflation. Now, how do you slow that down? By raising interest rates. That's how you slow down inflation. It's like, man, now when the whole world's in debt up to its eyeballs because of the inflation that they created by printing money and their own out of the other pocket, they're raising interest rates to slow down that inflation. That kills anybody with debt. The whole global financial system is based on debt, LT. Right. So what have they been saying is don't buy gold or silver. What have they been doing? Buying gold and silver, right? So, and I'm talking about the central banks, because if you look at China, for example, they own estimated 5,000 tons of gold, and they're pretty much new to the game. You look at the European Union, the European Central Bank has about 10,500 tons of gold. You look at the Federal Reserve of the United States, about 8,500 tons of gold. 8,500 tons. That's a lot of gold, right? Now, you start to add in outside of China, the other countries of the BRICS nations, whether it's Russia, close to 1,000 tons of gold, India, like 900 tons of gold, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkey, all a few hundred to 600 tons of gold. You've got now the BRICS nations have more gold than the European Union does. Very much competitively aligned to actually replace some of the Western currencies as the world reserve currency of the world, which they're trying to replace the US dollar. Right. They already have more gold than the United States collectively, and they're pretty much on par with the European Union. So what have they done? Behind the scenes, while they're poo-pooing gold and silver and saying it's an ancient relic and stupid, they're buying it by the hundreds or thousands of tons. So then, just 2 days ago, the Dutch Central Bank, one of the leaders of that bank, president or executive, whatever they call it there, says this: if there is a financial crisis, the gold price will skyrocket and official gold reserves can then be used to underpin a new gold standard, according to the Dutch National Bank. And by saying gold will be the safe haven of choice during a financial collapse, Dutch National Bank confesses to its own currency, the euro, it does not weather all storms. So why doesn't the euro weather all storms? Because it's paper. It's printed by fiat. There's no backing to it at all. So once the public loses faith and confidence in it, that's the only thing that gives it value, is the faith and confidence that the people give it. What gives value to a gold-backed currency? The gold gives it value, right? So central banks around the world trying to compete to be the world's next global superpower economically, to be the reserve currency of the world. I think, I mean, this is just my projection here, is I think that they don't quite buy into their own story that central bank digital currency is going to be the rule of the land. Because if they thought that, well, then why would they be amassing thousands of tons of gold? See, when you think about it, people aren't going to like what they offer. Who would like this message? Hey, voting public, all of you who are voting for us politicians, have we got a deal for you? We're going to have a digital currency, which we can track you like Big Brother, every single transaction that you ever have. And if your ideology doesn't match up with ours, we're going to cut it off. We're not going to let you buy or sell. Or if we run out of money, we've already got legislation passed, like in the Dodd-Frank bill in the United States, for example, it says we're going to allow bail-in taxes, meaning it's not the government that's going to bail you out anymore. It's going to be private citizens bailing out their own banks. And if it's digital, all they have to do is flip a switch and say, hey, LT, you had $100,000 in your Chase bank account yesterday. Today, you're going to have $90,000 because we're doing a 10% bail-in tax. It's like, what? They can do it easily. It's not even that they have to pass the bill. It's already been passed during the Obama administration, right? So if it's digital, it's really easy to take it away. Something that's private, like metal, gold or silver, they can't take away. So this is why they've been poo-pooing it forever. saying, no, you don't want that. You don't want that. It's horrible. It's an ancient relic. But now when push comes to shove, they're actually buying the stuff for years that they've been saying don't buy, you know, price suppression so they can buy it at lower prices. Because I think they know full well the public will probably revolt against central bank digital currency and the intrusion on our lives and start looking for gold. And so therefore it's like, hey, have we got a deal for you? Now we've got central bank digital currency that's backed by gold. So it adds accountability and credibility. And it's like, don't go in that door. Mm-hmm. Don't go in it, because they're going to probably use gold as the carrot, right? As the shiny thing that makes people interested in it. But once you go in, you're not getting your money out, because the same rule still applies. They control the switch that allows you to buy or sell. So once you're into that system, it's going to be almost impossible, I would say, to take it out. And I think they're going to use gold to get people in.
Yeah. Interesting, because you're bringing up something that happened this week also. You mean, we just talked about the Dutch. These big wins here on our side, I believe. Geert Wilders, his party just won a shocking landslide in the Netherlands yesterday, the day of recording, would be the 21st, I believe. Then we had Argentina elected the anti-socialist economist Javier Milei. I don't know if you saw that in the landslide. They actually used paper ballots and had the counting done in a couple of hours. This guy, you were just talking about the revolt against their massive control over the people. That was a huge win, because this guy right here says, I'm going to get rid of this central bank. This central banks need to go, and all of these other government-run agencies, he says they're gone. He's going to get rid of all of them. And another big win was Republican mayor, just a small one, was elected in Charleston for the first time since 1877. So we're seeing a huge wake-up call and revolt against all this government control over our lives.
Yeah. I mean, it's happening, right? This is the populist political movement globally. See, Trump was a populist, and it's basically power back to the people. It's away from the centralization of government. Bernie Sanders is a populist, might not agree with his politics, people watching the show, but in his own way, he wants truth and accountability and transparency. I think his methodology and his politics are whack, but yet same kind of populist movement. Nigel Farage in England, creator of the Brexit movement, right? He's a populist. So what populists around the globe are saying, enough is enough. We don't trust the bankers anymore. We don't trust the central banks. Look at, you created a whole world of debt. Now it's impacting not just us, but future generations. We need a change. We want something new, right? So I think this is happening globally. And in Argentina, this is a weird political story, right? Because here in America, they're wanting to pull away our freedoms, go to centralization of everything, central bank, digital currency, all that, and restrict our freedoms. And that's where we're being pushed, and this is a communist socialist agenda. It's going to require higher taxation. People are going to keep less. They're going to spend less. It creates economic chaos. Argentina, they've had that for decades.
Yeah.
So much so that they kept printing money. The rest of the world didn't want it. They've gone through quasi hyperinflationary scenarios over and over and over again, constant government shutdowns. So finally they're saying enough is enough. We're going the other way and pick like a pro-Trump type president. Yep. See, they have, or they had, I should say, until just a couple of days ago, they still do, what our politicians are trying to bring us to. And they say, it stinks so bad, we've got to make a change. We're going with a Trump-style president, because that way has ruined our country for the last 30 or 40 years.
That's right.
We're now going down that road. Why? Why can't our politicians learn that socialism and communism doesn't work? It's like, oh, we're asking the wrong question. They know that it doesn't work, but it's not about fixing a broken system. It's about people control. There's power when you control the people, because you get their votes. And that's what they're looking for. That's what this is all about. It's not about fixing a broken economy. In fact, I'm going to say a radical thing. I think that they want the economy broken.
Yep.
So they can have people subservient to them, because they will offer a solution that won't work, but they'll still offer a solution.
That's right. And you guys offer a great solution to all of this that's going on. We talk about it constantly, but the reminder with the precious metals, I mean, I just put in last week's video, the big one was the, you know, silver increasing in 3 years by 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. And so you're offering, your team just does great work. You helped our family out tremendously, and we really appreciate that. But if you just let the listeners know once again, I mean, how you guys can support them as they give you a call, reach out to you to andweknow.com/gold.
Yeah, andweknow.com/gold, or call us 720-605-3900 and just say LT sent you. But the process is real simple. It's a free consultation. Our goal is a God-breathed goal, and that is just to be help you become a wise steward with what you've been given, right? It's our gift. It's our calling to advise you, and you can say, yeah, Kirk, it sounds awesome. Let's do it the way you do it, or not interested. I want to do it the other way, that Dave Ramsey says, buy and hold stocks, for example, for the long haul, because the stock market always goes up. It's like, oof, well, boy, he's amazing at getting out of debt, but that's a dumb thing to say, because nothing goes up forever. Nothing goes down forever. When it comes to investments, there's intermediate trends in there based on policy, higher taxes, higher interest rates, higher inflation, lowering jobs, all of that. So when we identify that, we can be wise stewards, maximize our return while minimizing our risk, right? Yep. But this is where we want to help equip people to understand your normalcy bias is usually the killer to a portfolio. Normalcy bias meaning, I made it through the stock market collapse in 2000. I made it through in 2009. My portfolio is still intact today. And so what hurt me in the past isn't going to hurt me in the future. Okay, that's normalcy bias. But there's a better way to do it. In 2000, it took people 8 years or so, 9 years to actually recover from that one. And in 2009, it took 8 years. This one's a debt bubble. This is a huge bubble. Markets are not going to respond well to this one. So therefore, we just get out of the path of the hurricane into something that's growing, into something that does well during inflationary times. That happens to be gold and silver. And so we navigate you through that. But this is where our journey begins, right? It's not ends, because we don't expect you to watch the markets like a hawk. We will. And we'll always let you know when it's time to buy, sell, reallocate, get out of Dodge, do whatever needs to be done moving forward. And here's something really interesting. I'm glad you've got this chart on the screen. If you look at the very, very top, that's not even on there, this massive chunk, that's iron ore, that's steel, right? And then the next biggest one is aluminum, and they're massive. You have to scroll all the way down to these dinky little numbers under technology and precious metals. Silver is like 28,000 tons of 1.5 million tons.
Yep.
And gold is even less, right? So it's like all the gold ever mined in the history of the world can fit into two Olympic-sized swimming pools. That's it. I mean, that's weird to think about. Right? Because all the steel that's ever been produced in the world, you couldn't fit in two Olympic-sized swimming pools. I mean, just one skyscraper is more than that, right? So it's like, but there's not much. When it's that rare, that scarce, this is why kings and kingdoms throughout the history of the world, look at Solomon, right? He was after gold all the time. They're after gold. Wars are created over gold because it's scarce, it's rare, it has value, always has. Since the beginning of biblical times, and you know what, LT? I just have to say it always will, because things that are scarce always have value. Things that are scarce never go to zero.
Right.
Companies can go to zero. They go bankrupt. Mm. When was the last time a car went to zero on the car lot, even if it's used? Well, it's always something. When was the last time gas at the pumps was zero? Well, never. Right? What about oil? Well, never. What about gold or silver? Again, never. They don't go to zero. So there's downside risk protection there, where a company can go out of business tonight.
Mm.
Before we get off the air, there's probably going to be all kinds of companies that go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Right. They can go to zero overnight. We saw with FTX, Sam Brinkman-Fried, you know, cryptocurrencies can go to zero overnight and you never get that money back, right?
Right.
Because it's not based on reality. It's not based on a thing. This is why I love gold and silver, because it's a tangible asset that's always going to have value. We don't know if it's going to go up or down. It's a function of the trends that we're under. But right now, in an inflationary world, they're going up. And that's really, really, really good for investors that are investing into metals.
Amen. And of course, you guys can reach out to Dr. Kirk Kelly and his team at amweknow.com/gold. They will work with you, talk to you over the phone. You can actually send them information over the, I believe, email system too when they communicate with you. And it's absolutely amazing. That's how we did it, back and forth until we got it done. It was done so quickly. My wife and I were so relieved when it was taken care of as our IRAs moved into precious metals, silver majority. So we just appreciate you guys. And please remember to pray for Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team. We're going to lift you up in prayer real quick.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you once again for Dr. Elliott, for his team, for what they're doing in this strange time that we live in. Every day we seem to have updates just to remind us this crazy world that we live in. Thank you for providing just an avenue for us to provide comfort and rest for all the things that we work hard for. You know everything that's going on. You're in full control. And we just ask for complete protection over everyone in his team. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again. We'll talk to you
Thank you. Next week. We'll see you soon.